You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Are you ready?
Stand by in one.
I invite you to let this be your moment.
Ready, mic one. Cue tape. And roll.
Make this your moment. Look back at this day and say, this is a day when something happened that really mattered in my life.
And we're live. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hello, my friends, and welcome to Coffee with Kim. I am here to journey with you to a new day, a new moment. I believe God has led you to this moment and this place because He is about to bring purpose and potential to your story. He is about to show you how your story can touch the lives of others while bringing glory to Him. It's not too late. Today, this moment can be the start of the best rest of your life. So join thousands of women from all around the globe who have discovered how powerful their stories become once Christ touches them with His purpose. Don't you long to make this same discovery? Then grab your coffee, scoot in, and join me as we let God's Word reveal how every part of your past has been preparing you for this very moment. Well, hello, friend. It's so good to be back with you. I have a question for you. Do you know about deep pain? Have you ever felt lost or even abandoned by God when something just interrupts your life that's so unexpected and you just think to yourself, God, where are you? Where were you? What is going on? Have you ever felt that loneliness? Have you ever felt invisible to God, like He took His eyes off you? That's the only way that this could have ever happened. Gosh, deep pain can be an ache that we can feel so deeply, and it can be as isolating as a prison cell. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you felt that the way I felt that? And you know what? I've found out as believers, we can stay in that cell of pain. And we can literally become trapped in the isolation and thinking that even God doesn't care. Even He has forgotten about us. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, I could ask you, have you ever felt this way? But you know what? I think the most more appropriate question is how many times have we felt this way? And what are we going to do with it? You know, there's something about us that sometimes we just want to curl up and cry, and we must. There's nothing wrong with that. But after a period of time, God says there's something more. There's the next step. And what is that next step, my friend? That's what I want to talk about today. That next step is what I found to be choosing God, to choose Him, to really learn more about His love during these lonely, lonely times. You know, what I found out and what we're going to be talking about today with my incredible guest host, Dr. Jan Adderholt, we're going to be talking about how by choosing Him, we are choosing freedom, we're choosing healing, and we're choosing to be a source of His hope to those around us. I'm not saying that it's easy. I'm saying that we must use and call upon His power to make this happen. Because I don't know about you, but I've suffered some great losses in my life. And you know what's even probably been even more hurtful is when I've seen those around me, like my children, suffer deep losses. Boy, that'll really get you on it. But there is hope. And that's what I want us to talk about. I want us to talk about what to do, how we can be renewed and sustained during personal loss and tragedy, that during that time that we must rise up and say, now is not the time to give up. Isn't this going to be an incredible show? I want you to pull up your seat, grab your coffee, grab your pen and your pencil. You're going to want to take notes. You're going to write down some of the scriptures that we're going to be giving you today. But for now, what I want to do is to remind you that if this has already pricked your heart, please write down this number and join us. The number is 347-324-5246. Press 1 if you'd like to speak to us. So again, welcome to Coffee with Kim. This is Kim Crable, your host, and our co-host today is my dear, incredible, wonderful friend, Dr. Jan Adderholt. Jan is an international speaker, businesswoman, entrepreneur. She has her own radio show called Let's Get Real with Jan and Marta. She is an executive coach and connector. And it goes on and on about the incredible woman and the things that she has done. But can I just say, I am so delighted to be able to call her my friend. She and I did a service ministry last year to London, and we'll tell you about that. But I just want to welcome on right now my incredible and blessed friend, Jan. Welcome, Jan, from Texas.
Yes, thank you so much, Kim. You're such a doll. I'm so thrilled to be here.
Oh, well, we are delighted to have you. You are such a source of inspiration and wisdom and knowledge, and your humility to serve those around you always grabbed hold of my heart. It did from the moment that we met. Jan, if you can't see Jan because we're either on podcast or live radio right now, I guarantee you, Jan is sitting with her pearls. Miss Beautiful, I know she sleeps in her pearls. She's that beautiful Southern woman who you just want to crawl up in her lap because you know she's going to have the answer to make you feel all great.
Oh.
And tell me, Jan, where do your answers come from? Let's just start right there. Tell us a little bit about you and have you. Have you felt this depth of despair?
Well, you know, just a quick synopsis. I come from a pastor's home. My parents are in their mid to late 70s. They still pastor, and I serve alongside them as one of the pastors on their staff. And we have faced throughout our lives much joy, but also many disappointments, grief. From a child, I've had a heart for God. Have I always done the right thing? No. Have I wanted to do the right thing? Yes.
Why?
But, you know, God has always remained faithful to his word, that he said that his word will not return void. Mm-hmm. It will accomplish that what it's been sent to do. Mm-hmm. And the one thing that my parents indelibly printed on my heart was the love of the word of God. That without, when everyone else has abandoned you, when all the situation has turned flip-flop and it was supposed to be an exciting adventure, that you still have the Word of God. And it doesn't make any difference what version you like. If you like King James, New International Version, it all still speaks very strongly to your spirit and at the right time. And so I love the Word of God. It's like meat to my bones. If I don't wake up in the morning and have the chance, it's a rarity. I mean, it is a rarity that I do not have the chance to either read the Word of God or hear the Word of God spoken. I feel like I've missed my meal for the day. I feel empty. Do you feel that way, Kim?
I do. And you have already... to our great friends and listeners who are listening or part of our roundtable discussion this morning, you've already given so many. I'm writing ferociously here. One thing that you said that I love, his word is alive and active. that you open up his word to minister to your heart, to build you up. And, you know, I love that. And you said something else that I love. It meets you right where you are. That's God's way of meeting us. I love that. And, Jan,
yes.
You also said something that I think that we all deal with is those times when we do feel rejected and hurt and alone and invisible. And it made me think of the scripture, Matthew 28:20, where it says, I am always with you. I am always with you. I am there to comfort you, John 14:18 says. I love that. So you're saying, I believe, that in this, any time that you have whatever struggles you've gone through, and maybe you might want to share. I know about
yes.
it. I would love you might want to share one. I'm not sure which one you'd want to share, but you know how in that loneliness, because I know I have friends that are listening right now who are feeling like they're in that. Have you ever felt like you're in that dark pit of just alone
yes.
and just darkness?
Yes.
Let's speak
yes.
to them right now, because it's so hard to feel alone. To know that you're not alone is good. To read the word is good. But how do we make that word come to life
right.
for them?
Right. Well, I'll tell you, I want to speak to one of the most recent and share the most recent time that I suffered a personal loss.
Uh-huh.
I've gone through... and I'm speaking to ladies and men and women of career, men of purpose in their homes, men of purpose in their homes. And I just want to say that I've gone through the career, the job loss, the transition. I've gone through moving from state to state, missing and just so lonely from my family. I've gone through the heartache and separation of divorce. And I've gone through just, you know, the separation of a disloyal friend. You know, there's nothing worse. Sometimes you feel like you can almost handle a divorce than rather than that close friend that you've trusted for years, and
right.
they turn on you. And we've all faced
right.
it. It's happened.
Right.
And no
right.
matter how good of a friend we've been, it happens. But I want to speak to you. And some of us may have challenges. Maybe you've had challenges with a teenager, and you feel like that, you know, they were just, you were best friends all these years. You have all these amazing pictures of your family, you know, sitting just so throughout your home or saved in your phone, and you look at it, but then you've come to a stage where it's challenging and you cannot get them to communicate with you, and you feel lonely because you're missing that friendship, that connection
right.
with the child that you've loved on and nurtured, and now you've come to being an adult situation, and now you can really enjoy their time, but they're still looking for their niche in life, and so
right.
it feels lonely.
Yeah.
But mine came when in June of 2016 I lost my husband, and my sweetheart was just sick very briefly, but we had God granted us the time to prepare, and.
Mm-hmm.
In that, and I want to say this, that as Kim had asked me to be on the show today, my heart, you know, we always reach in our, we're always looking for women that and men that we can go after in the Bible, and they
right.
always have this tragedy that launches them into their purpose.
Right.
And that doesn't make any sense in our minds
mm-hmm.
sometimes, because it's like, well, Lord, why don't you just protect us from the tragedy and just launch us on? But in those times is when we gain our deepest roots
mm-hmm.
and going deeper in the word. We're so desperate for answers that we choose two things.
Mm-hmm.
Either we hide away and we do not, and we become reclusive, and we do not reach out, and we become destructive to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or we say, God, I'm going to trust you, and I don't. It doesn't make any sense. My feelings are all over the place. It makes no sense. I don't understand this. I'm going to trust your word that says, you know, what I speak out of my mouth becomes life. But I've got to tell you, my heart is killing me.
Jan, let's stop right there for just a minute, because I feel like that is a point where a lot of my friends who are listening might be is that you are you're standing in the rejection, you're standing in the hurt, you're standing at the divorce, you're standing at the graveside of someone you love, you're standing, you know, Charles Spurgeon says there are all sorts of broken hearts, but Christ is good at healing them all. So we're standing there at this crossroads. Let's talk to that friend about don't we all want to curl up in fetal position and say, no, this is too bad. And it's okay to do that for a while. I think that that's something that we, it's okay.
Part of the healing process.
Absolutely. But when we've been there, we all know when it's time to take the next step. Jan, I want you to speak to that person who is in that. What would you say to them? What is a practical way to make that first step toward God so that they are choosing him rather than to stay in the ditch? What are some practical things that we can tell them to do to start the movement toward God? I know, Jeremiah 29:12 tells us that we call upon him and we pray to him and that he will hear us. Seek me, find me. But what does that really bring that to today and tell me what that, tell my friend what that looks like?
Well, it looks like, number one, it looks like get up and wash your face and put your makeup on.
Good. Love that.
It looks like get up and children or your friend would have seen you and you would have wanted to long to look well for them. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You cannot bury that's the first, the outward. And I know we talk about the inward as Christians and as believers. And I'm sure there are many that are on here that are believers and Christians. We're constantly focusing on the inside because we, you know, it says that God looks on the heart. He doesn't look on the outside. He looks on the heart.
Right.
But here's what I found years ago in business when the book came out, Dress for Success. It doesn't make any difference how you feel on the inside if when you put something together on the outside, and I know this sounds very fleshly, but make the outside start changing enough that it starts kind of changing on the inside.
Yes. I love that practice. I love, you know, because that's what I had to do, Jan. I had to start, I had looked in the mirror and I thought, Kim, you've got to start making steps toward progress. And that was one of the first things. I got up, like you said, put on a little makeup and put on my tennis shoes and started walking. I just started moving.
Well, that's right. Get some fresh air. Go to the farmer's market. Go to the pool. If you have to put all the cover-ups on, so be it. Take a walk to the park. If people are, if certain things, you know, there have been times when I couldn't drive by a certain building. I couldn't drive to a certain area because I just couldn't do it.
Right.
And, but so avoid that, but find a place that's safe and comforting for you that you can make your own.
Yes.
And get moving and start, you know, go get, if you want to go to Starbucks, get a coffee. If you want to go, you know, whatever, if you need to go to Walmart, if you need to go to Target, something of that nature, just to get moving. And you never know who you're going to run into that God will use to encourage you.
Exactly. And you never know who you're going to see who's in, seems sadder than you are, that you're going to rally up and begin to encourage
them. Every time. I mean, every time I have gone through one of these situations, it's like the Lord just positions like a baton, like a relay race, you know, at a quarter mile, you know, they pass the baton, and then they run, and then the quarter mile, they pass the baton again. It's like He would have me run into somebody that I was supposed to be encouraging.
Yes.
And as I began to encourage them and talk to them, I forgot about me. And now let me say this, personalities, in the variance of personalities is going to determine how easy it is to do some of these things. You understand?
Right. Absolutely.
So the environment that this recovery is taking place is going to have a lot to do with it. But I have been of the personality for years, and it is because, you know, it's kind of like this. Kim, if many of you know, she's this beautiful woman. She can put anything on and look absolutely adorable in it and cute Aww. And lovely and classy. But my
sweet.
Point is that, and I bet you she doesn't have to work at what she does. I can tell you that. I have to work at what I do. So if I get off course too long for too long, I have to put more work in it to get back to that.
Yeah.
So the thing of it is that you don't want to be off course for too long. Because
right.
if you stay too deep, then Satan starts coming in and starts going, oh, you remember when you did this? You remember
yeah.
when you did this? That's why this is happening to you. And you just start feeding on all the grief and feeding on all the hurt and the pain and all the bad memories that you had completely forgotten about. God had already taken it and covered it up, and it was done. It was dealt with. You had, but when you stay in the midst of this brokenness and this grief for so long, it will all start rallying itself and coming back, and you start feeding on that instead
right.
of feeding on God's word that says, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That
absolutely.
I have stood on for years. The joy.
Absolutely.
What does joy mean? Not happiness. Now, happiness and joy are two different things. Happiness is based on your circumstances. Joy is based on your attitude.
Absolutely. And I love, you know, what you have just drawn there, Jan, with those incredible practical application. And that's what I long to do. And I know that's your heart too, is to speak the practical application of God's word and just, you know, feel getting up and saying, okay, it's a new day. I'm going to go out. And Jan, that when you were talking about was I thought about Jesus in one of his greatest times of loss. Soon after he found out that his favorite, his cousin, John the Baptist, had been beheaded, and the Bible
yes.
tells us that he was going out into the wilderness to be alone. So that
yes.
tells me right there that when we're sad, it's okay to withdraw for a
Absolutely.
While.
Absolutely.
But also what happened was in his withdrawal, and we have to be very careful when we're withdrawn, because we have to remember
mm-hmm.
that we have an enemy who prowls around like a roaring lion, and lion
yes.
goes after those who are isolated, those who
yes.
are hurting, those who feel less than or forgotten, and are have kind of ostracized themselves. So we have an enemy who looks for those of us who are isolating ourselves and not putting ourselves in the presence of others. But Jesus, so it's okay to withdraw. We just don't stay there forever. But getting back
he had
to
a
the
time
story.
Limit. He had a time limit.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And what we saw was, and I believe that this is a great picture for each and every one of us, and what you've articulated so brilliantly is that, you know, Jesus withdrew when he was so hurting to go into the wilderness, but soon came an opportunity for him to serve. And
mm-hmm.
serving is part of our healing. We know that.
Mm-hmm.
We see that all
yes.
through Scripture. So as Jesus goes out into the wilderness to be alone, he looks upon 5,000 men, women, and children, and he has a choice to make. Will I just stay in myself and be sad, which is okay. Like I keep saying, I don't want people to think that you have to go through the grieving period no matter what it is. So there is a time there. But along
Absolutely.
That time, God will give us opportunities to serve. And to me, that
mm-hmm.
is another crossroads of, okay, what will I do? And in the midst of his grief and his pain. So that also tells us another valuable principle to remember here is that we do not have to be fully healed to serve and to give his hope. So Jesus was in the midst of a deep pain, and yet he saw the needs, and he was overwhelmed with compassion, the Bible says, because he knew his own hurt. So he began to serve others. And I think that that's
yes.
a beautiful picture of what you're saying there, and a beautiful
yes.
scripture account of in the midst of our deepest grief that God will allow opportunities for us to speak his joy
His resilience.
Well, and one thing I want to, yes, and I, that is absolutely just confirmation of what we're speaking of. But, you know, it's so imperative that one of the first things that we do when we are isolated, when we're going through, and when I say isolation, I'm talking about that grief, that time of grieving, that time of I just needed to get alone. If you don't do it now, it will get you eventually. So you might as well just go ahead and walk through it knowing that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are by your side.
Absolutely.
And while you're there, be cautious about, you know, what you watch on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because let me tell you something. When you watch something on TV and you see the people who, we see these stoic people that they just have no emotion in this, in person of endearment and valid, you know, figure in their life, there's no emotion. They just look so put together. I mean, my goodness, when Kate Middleton just had her baby, she was out showing the baby in 3 hours, and it's like, oh my gosh, I know, with heels on, and it's like, I don't remember that about me. You know, my makeup might have been on, but that's about it. My point is, don't put unrealistic expectations on yourself.
Right.
Don't watch some of these things and go, well, I need to be responding like them, because that's how we do. And conversely, don't watch sad, morose shows.
Right.
You're going to have enough of that for yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
You know, try to keep yourself to where the things that you watch, try to get yourself laughing again. You've got to work on doing that for yourself. And hopefully you surround yourself with people that will want to help you do that. That will want to give you, and that's a very important thing as well. I want to speak real briefly. We look in the book of Ruth, and my heart, the book of Ruth, we always gravitate to Ruth and what a story that is. I love Ruth, and I love the Boaz and Ruth story, but, you know, Naomi is really the pillar of strength and the reason that this whole story, and look at the way that she created, had to walk through five major transitions. She, first of all, she follows her husband to a foreign land because she's, ever had to move? Have you ever had? I have. I've moved from my husband's job. I've moved from my job. And you leave your family and your environment of safety. Then the second thing is her husband passes. Then the third thing is her sons pass. Now her sons have married women that weren't from her location. So they all had different ways of doing things. Ever had a challenge trying to make your family and dynamics sync and be unified? And then here she's left as a widow, and I don't know if any of you are aware of this, many of you may be, but being a widow and you're not in the United States of America, it is not a place of honor. It is not. You are left and abandoned. I actually work with a ministry, not work, but I support a ministry that not only do I send support for the orphans, but I send support for the widows because they have no life. They can never remarry again in other cultures.
Mm-hmm.
So here she is widowed. Ruth is widowed. They walk across. They find out it's okay to go back to Bethlehem, and they go back to Bethlehem, and this strong woman that has been grieving, and she still says, don't even call me Naomi anymore. Call me by another name, Mara. Because I've had all this poured on my head, and I'm not happy anymore. But yet in that, she still encourages Ruth and gives advice on all that's going on, where to work. She knew where to live. She settled. She's still somewhere. It doesn't speak it specifically in the Word of God. I'm just going to give you Jan 2 and 4. She stayed connected to the Father, to Abba Father enough that he was directing her steps to where she should even land when she came into Bethlehem, back into her land. And then as she begins to talk to Ruth, then Ruth goes out. Now, Ruth's the widow herself. But Naomi has suffered all these losses, and yet, as we see and watch, as you said, Kim, she served, she stayed, and she encouraged. She knew that Ruth had to get on about and have a life. She was looking at this, and she was encouraging her. And in the midst of her encouraging Ruth to go out, she told her how to stay in the field where she was, because it turns out it was their kinsman redeemer. And then she encourages her in that. That became her final transition. And that was the embodiment of being a grandmother to this beautiful child that was born from Boaz and Ruth, that she had encouraged and instructed and had brought her along the way. That, my friend, is what we do when we stay connected to the Father. Things will not be perfect. They will not look perfect, but they will turn out for your good.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that. I feel, you know, you hear me say it so many times, and I think this is true. And for the sweet listener who is listening and gleaning hope from all this incredible wisdom and biblical knowledge, I just will say to you that many, many times, and I found this to be so true, that being right in the center of God's will is not always warm and fuzzy. It's not always where you would choose to be, and it's not where you had hoped life was going to take you. But just like we just saw in that beautiful picture of Naomi, you know, right where you are is right where God is waiting for you. We're going to have to take a little station break right now for about 30 seconds. And during this break, before we go into break, I just want to pray for everyone. I just feel like God is just calling us to a moment to just pray for those who feel like Ruth and be the hope of Naomi and to have the compassion that God is calling out in each of us, even in our hurt and our pain. And Father, I just pray right this minute for each of the ones who are listening, that God, that you will help them to understand that you have not abandoned them, that you have not forgotten them. They are not the mistake that they are feeling like. There's no mistake that can disconnect them from you. And Lord, I pray that as Janice so wonderfully laid out the steps of Naomi, that we see in that there is a story that's being told in our lives. And we may be in a chapter that's not particularly happy right now, but there's another chapter that's waiting to be written. And Lord, as we turn to you and as we pour our hearts out to you, that your word says that we, the righteous, will cry out. And we are righteous, Lord, because of your blood and your covering, not because of ourselves. But you say that as we cry out, that you hear us. And Lord, we're crying out to you today on behalf of all the many broken hearts that are listening, those who have lost children, those who have buried their teens, those who are struggling through a horrid divorce, or those who are getting ready to send their kids off to college and it's breaking their hearts, those who have just lost jobs, those, Lord, those who have lost their homes, there's so much loss, and it's so easy, Lord, for us to look at ourselves and those around us and feel like, where are you, God? What happened? Lord, help us to remember that your word says in Psalms 34 that you are close to us. You've never been more close than when our broken heart, and that you are about to save those of us who are crushed in spirit. Lord, I just claim this word over the many who are listening right now or who will be listening, Lord, that your healing power begins to do a great work in the midst of our brokenness right now. Amen. Yeah. Amen. All right, we're going to go to a 30-second break, and then we're going to come back. If we have any of our listeners who would like to call in, you may call in at 347-324-5246, press 1, and we'll be back in 30 seconds.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes, and you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org, but you're probably not going to, are you? Kids, work, listening to the radio, you're busy, which is great because busy people can't get prediabetes. Oh my, I read that wrong. They can. Should have worn my glasses. So visit doihaveprediabetes.org and take a short test, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
Welcome back to Coffee with Kim. This is your host, Kim Crable. I am so delighted and honored to have you a part of this program where we're talking about what to do when we feel abandoned by God, how to reclaim our joy to feel even refreshed and sustained during personal loss. I want to remind you that if you are listening and you're more interested in what we're doing, please visit my website, www.rosesandrainbows.org, or there you can see what we do. I love to come to your church and speak and be together. If you are interested in any of my books, the book that I would refer you to first, of course, is our Burdens to Blessings Journey of Transformation. You can get that on our website, at Amazon, all the large book outlets. Facebook us, like us on Facebook, and join us every day. Every morning I'm on live. Yes, you can actually see that I am not looking good every day, like Jan says. I can prove it to you live. Tuesday through Thursday at 9 a.m. Jump on with me. We talk. We pray together. Oh, my gosh, we have the best time. We have people. Jan, we have people from London, Austria, Gilmer, Texas, Augusta, all over. It is like the best.
Wow.
I love, love, love what we do. And, of course, there on the website, you can also look at the upcoming event. So, oh, my gosh. So I'm just delighted again. Thank you again, Jan, Ada Holt, for being with us. And oh my gosh, your wisdom, your compassion, your love, it's wonderful. We could go on and on and on. I'm trying to decide where to go from here, and this is where I want to go. This is where I want to go. We've talked about practical application of, you know, getting up, putting on your makeup, going out, trying to have the eyes to look around and see how we can be speak something into someone's life at the grocery store line, at the T-ball game, wherever we are. You know, and I believe that in the process of our coming, some of those first steps up, you know, calling out to the Lord, asking him to give us the strength to keep going, I believe that in that process of moving forward, that we're actually letting go of the past, don't you? That
yes.
We're saying we're not going to let this chain me down. I'm not going to harbor rejection. I'm not going to worry about anybody who's wronged me. I'm going to move beyond the thought that God has abandoned me. Luke 6:37 says, be merciful, don't judge, don't condemn others. Forgive that we may be forgiven, to lend mercy to those who have hurt us. And, you know, at some point in our life, we have to just, for better words, get over it. Don't you agree?
Yes. Oh, well, 100%. And here's what I want to also, as you were coming back in and speaking, it just dropped in my spirit. You know, I had the privilege of, my husband was so adamant about me moving forward and gave me, I mean, he had such clarity. The Lord really used him to help me have even more clarity of what to do for the future and what to finish and to finish my doctorate, to become the executive coach for John Maxwell. I mean, those were on. He said, please finish that. But
okay, so wait a minute, can I interrupt right there? So you're saying before this loss, this isn't something that you had completed. So this isn't something that you had completed before this devastation?
No.
That once we're devastated, we can still pick up our lives and complete
those
goals? Talk to us about that, Jan. How did you do that? Because that's huge.
Yes, it is huge because tell you that, and let me just say, back up just a tad, that you may not have had somebody be that encouraging with you. They may not have the ability to really express to you what think life can look like without them because they just didn't have the courage to speak of it. You understand?
Right.
Or they may not be, and let me say this, and I'm going to be real cautious in saying it, but I'm going to be very candid in saying it. Your loss may be from somebody that was not a good person. And they were not good to you, but you were good to them. And they made you make promises of this, that, and the other for what your life will look like after them. You need to shed some of that stuff. You need to let go of some of that stuff because that is called bondage. And so you need to look at if you
are standing at the brink of a new horizon, and you're looking forward, and you see, like, no, you have no direction. I had direction, but I already had a pretty strong moral compass and a very strong spiritual compass. If you don't, you have got to know, well, let's just take this one day at a time, okay? Let's look at this. I've got my makeup on. I've started moving. I'm walking, and I'm like, what do I want to do? What do I want next year to look like for me?
Great.
The first thing you're going to do is take a room at a time. Take a step at a time. If you want your house to look different, if you want a different vehicle, I'm talking about practical stuff here. I'm talking
I
about
love it.
Just being able to get up and do the dishes every day. Make sure you make your bed every day. Make sure that if your house looks, you've had a long string, a long many weeks of not being able to get up and do, and you kind of need to get that all straightened up so you can have a friend over for coffee, that you can have them over for lunch. Or if you can't make that happen, go clean out your car so you can go pick them up and take them to lunch. You understand what I'm saying?
I do. I love it.
I mean, because grief and loss and change will cause us to be immobile. And so things keep moving about us. We keep eating. We keep, changing clothes, bathing. You've got to get all of that. You've got to get all the practical steps done inside the house. When you start doing some of that, it gets you organized for that next clarity of mind. It clears your brain so that you can think about, okay, what do I want to stay where I am as far as my career, as far as my connections, as far as my church, as far as my world? Or is there something that I've wanted to accomplish that I haven't done yet? So start looking at that. For me, I knew what I wanted to do. We had spoken about it. I had the privilege of having a very supportive spouse. And so we had spoken about it. And so I knew the steps. I knew where I was headed. But I had to choose to take them. I had to choose to go and make the first phone call and say, okay, what does this look like? What are the classes that I have left? What's my timeline? What is the expense and the cost? It's practical movement. It's not always about spiritual.
Right.
But in doing so, it connects with the spirit man because it keeps, we're stepping out by faith. One of the things that I got to tell you, and I'm going to step back just a tad and I'm going to step into the spiritual. It's not just God's word when it comes alive to us. You must have prayer time and devotion time with the Father.
And
I just want to give you the visual that the Lord gave me of, as I was praying, there were days when I couldn't breathe. Do you remember Hannah being at the altar?
I do.
And she was crying so hard, Kim, because everybody around her had all the other wives of her husband were just, they were just doing so great. They had children. They were playing at the park. They were going to the beach. They were having a great old time. And she was barren, and she was looked and frowned upon.
Absolutely.
And she was so hurt that when she came to the altar, she cried so hard there was no sound coming out of her mouth. I will tell you, I have cried that hard. I'm sure you have too, Kim.
Yes, and I bet our listeners
and
have
tears
too.
Just pouring. And here was this, great man of God that she was drunk. She's not drunk. She's overwhelmed with grief. She's just sad. When
there
you go to the altar of the Father in your bedroom, when you, wherever it is, your living room, your office, wherever, your prayer closet, when you get down and you cry that hard, I'm going to tell you it's okay. Because as you pour that out, the Father, it makes room for the Father to pour in to you.
Absolutely.
The fruit of the Spirit, make it alive again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, kindness, faith, meekness, and self-control. Those are the keys to getting back on your feet.
Absolutely.
All of that fruit. And so that's what I did, Kim. I mean, I just literally, my prayer time is not this, when you're going through a transition of life, and it is a hard thing. Let that grief go during your prayer time with the Father. Because when you let the grief go then the Father fills you back up, and then his word will become alive to you, because while he's filling you up, the word, you'll start thinking of the scripture that you just read and what that means, and you start praying that, then someone else will come to your mind and you'll start praying for them. Job, when he came through the worst thing in his life, man, I'm telling you, he lost everything. Within, they say that the account of Job, that all that, when the servant kept coming, the different servants came to him when he lost this, that, and the other, was about 24 minutes. He lost everything.
And you know here, what I think here, I'm sorry, I was going to say, I'll jump in here for just a minute and tell you that I think that one of the things that I hear you saying and all that, that I think is very important, a very important principle that that my friend, the listener, is hearing, is that, you know, grief can overtake us. And in that prayer time and in our looking around time, that gratefulness, you know, finding things around us that you can take that next step. Gratefulness can overtake grief when we choose.
Yes.
Many times we have to, that right, you know, Ephesians 3:20, give thanks always for all, you know, for things, you know, and it's not we're being thankful for what is happening. We're being thankful for the God who can handle, is in control. So I hear that in so many things that you're saying, Jan, is that, you know, I know that grief, and I've known that grief for myself, and I've known that grief for those around me when I've seen them lose loved ones, when I've seen my children lose great things and go through things.
Yes.
And, you know, you get to the point to where that grief, if we can start to look at the things that we can be grateful for, it begins, it's almost like a revival in our heart. You know, we begin to push out. Many times I will use the visual of a vase or a pitcher with water in it, and dark water, and you know, and I'll pour clear water in it. And the more clear I pour in, the more the dark has to come out, right? And before long, that to me, that's a picture of grief, grief being removed as we pour in gratefulness. And I feel like that's just another practical thing today. You know, it's very easy to get a gratitude journal and just every day try to write down a certain amount of things, even though you're in the darkness, just a few things that you can really focus your mind on that is good. And that's just a practical thing,
Kim,
for any listener.
Yeah, when you walk into my house and you walk into my living room, you're on my, if you caught me before I had a chance to move it out of the way, because I tried to where I sit every morning, get a schedule.
Yeah.
Get yourself up every day at the same time again.
Mm-hmm.
Give yourself another 30 minutes that you normally did, but every day I sit, and on my my coffee table next to me, is my gratitude book. I write down five things that I'm grateful for every day. I date it and I write it down. Then after I'm done with that, I take another little book, and that's my giving book. And where have I given out the day before? Whether it's time, talent, or treasure, where have I given out of myself the day before? So I can make room for God to pour back into me.
Love that. Love that.
And then I have another little journal. That's my vision book.
Yeah.
You know, Habakkuk says to write the vision down. Make it plain on paper. It will not delay. It will not tarry. It will surely come to pass. Write it down. What do you want next year to look like for you? Is it how you look? Is it how you feel? Is it a class? Is it where you live? What do you desire? How the dynamics of your family? If you are longing for someone to love you again and be in your life, you don't go looking for them. You write it down. Let God bring them to you.
I love that. Love that.
When we start looking, then we just take the first thing that comes along because it looks right. Because that's where Satan traps us. It all looks right. But we are still healing. We are still mending. And right. So we don't need to go out looking. You write the vision down. You leave the looking to God, and he'll send you the person that is exactly, and it will be better than you could have ever imagined. And that I'm telling you that if you may have lost, I keep feeling in my spirit someone's listening that has lost a child. And I mean, I'm talking about they've had several miscarriages. Mm-hmm. They have not been able to have a child, and they can't even breathe. They can't eat. They can't think. They can't even do their job. They are paralyzed with the longing for a child and the thought of not ever having a child. Settle mm-hmm. down. Just settle down. Write that down. Write down what you want. Do you want a little boy, mm-hmm. little girl, or does it not matter? And you believe God, you trust him, you settle down, you throw a baby shower for somebody else that's having one. You've avoided baby showers because you've avoided friends that have had babies because it hurts so bad. Settle down in the Father that he's got you covered.
Mm-hmm.
And God will step in. He may bring you a 12-year-old little girl that needs mm-hmm. a mama. That will absolutely be the delight of your life for the remainder of your life. He may bring a 15-year-old little boy that's just looking for a family that mm-hmm. absolutely comes in and looks just like your husband, and nobody will ever be able to tell the difference because God is that kind of God.
That's beautiful. Jan, that I'm sure, no doubt, spoke into someone's heart. I love that so much, and I cannot believe that our time is up. We've got just a couple minutes left, and I can't thank you enough. Could you take about 30 seconds and share a minute to share with us, Jan? I want people to know how they can reach you. Would you take
sure.
just a minute and share that, and then we'll close this out. What a great hour it's been. So tell us, Jan, how can we reach you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much, Kim, for the honor of being with you today. You are a mighty woman of God, and I loved connecting with you, and you're amazing, and I thank you for this mm-hmm. privilege. But you can reach me at Jan at janaderholt.com, and that's JanAderholt.com. My website is www.janaderholt.com. And I have a Facebook page that is Connect with Jan. That's my ministry page. I have a radio mm-hmm. program that is Let's Get Real with Jan and Marta. And mm-hmm. Marta's a dear friend that we all travel together in London. And so Kim's familiar with her as well, a mighty woman as well. We're here in the Fort Worth, Dallas area. And that's every Wednesday from 1 to 3 at FBRN.us, and that is FishbowlRadioNetwork.us, and that's Central Standard Time. And I would love for you to reach out to me, but I also want to encourage those that are listening to Kim, you have the real deal at your fingertips. And don't ever quit signing in and listening to Miss Kim, because she is a gift of heaven.
Oh, Dan, you know how I love you. You know how I love our time. I just pray for you every day, as I know you pray for me. And to our friends, I want them to know that you and I are always available. And again, I just thank you so very much. Let's do this again one day. You want to?
Absolutely. I would love to.
All right. Well, friends who've been on the show today, I want to thank you so very much for joining us. What an amount of scripture that you have gotten. And I pray that somewhere along the way that you've been able to allow this word, the scripture, a prayer, a practical application to just rest in your soul. You know, deep pain can come to each and every one of us, and it will. And it can make us feel so isolated. And it can make us feel as if we're living in a prison cell. We have a Savior who came to break open that cell, and he says to each and every one of us, as a matter of fact, the word joy appears over 165 times in the word. Joy is not happiness, my friend. Joy is seeing that right where you are, God is big enough to handle it. That right where you are, he is your comforter. That right where you are, he sits with you. He is there. He does not tell you to get up and move on. He's saying, let me pick you up. Let me show you the way. He is moved by compassion today, right where you are. He longs to comfort you, and he longs to use your life as one who brings his hope to all those around him. So today I encourage you, as we conclude this session of Coffee with Kim, I pray and ask you to reach out and seek God, even if your heart is broken, and understand that he is the great physician. He is our healer. While a broken heart seems as if it will last forever, and I know it seems that way, he wants you to know that it won't. It may never be the same, but he has a plan. Give it time. We are told that weeping may endure for a night, but joy, my friend, comes in the morning. Thank you again. This is Kim Crable signing off for another Coffee with Kim. I'll see you next time, friend. See you then.
Thank you for joining Coffee with Kim, a moment where your past pain connects with your future purpose to create your unique and powerful story.